I met this woman yesterday, a young lady who I believe was in her mid-20s, and she was in conversation. She told me that she was engaged, and she is getting married in 10 months. They have the place picked out, and she's very excited about it. And I said, through my mouth came the words, "Oh, congratulations." And of course, when you do that, you've got to extend the word congratulations to make it sound like you're enunciating it. And it's not, it's like really congratulations. So you got to go, "Ah, congratulations." You have to spread it out. That's what came through my mouth. Inside my brain, I'm saying to her, you poor son of a bitch.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
But congratulations.
Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Really?
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? That's great. Hey, congratulations. I have nothing against marriage. Here's my point. If you're going to get married, you have to know how to do it. You know, we as a people, we as a bunch of monkeys, we as the human race, we do stuff that we're able to do without thinking it through sometimes, or perhaps all the time. And that has to do with getting married and having children. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you're allowed to do it. You can pick somebody out and marry that person. Just about anybody you wish. You can legally be bound. I don't know why you want to do that, but you can legally be bound. And the reason that a lot of people get married is to have children, although that's not necessary anymore either. All you have to do is two people get together, they exchange fluids, and a child is the result of this a little less than a year later. And anybody can do it. You can be an idiot or whatever. You can be a horrible, horrible person, an irresponsible dickhead, and yet you can still bring life into the world. You don't have to have, you don't have to prove to anybody that you are able to bring this child up, that you can successfully make this child a wonderful person. Or provide for the child. You don't have to show, like, "I'm going to have a child." Oh, no, you can't. Not unless you can show me that you can provide for the child. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do it at all. You can bring a child into this world and totally destroy that child. You can do that. Or the child can be taken away from you if you don't do it properly. But to have it, no requirements. No testing, no urine test, nothing. Marriage and having children require no prerequisite. No survey need be taken, no down payment, nothing. It's easier to have a child than it is to get married. To have a child, Zoom, pop, child, done, finished, you're on your own. Marriage, at least you got to get a license. Nobody ever says, you can't marry this person. They're an idiot. You don't go to the marriage bureau license place and, you know, I want to get married to this person. I'm sorry, you can't. That person looks like an idiot. You can marry anything you want as long as it's somewhat within the species. Should there be requirement? You can't do it. But there should be, of course. Yes. If you're going to get married, you really need to have the stuff it takes to get married. Nobody likes to get married with the forethought that, well, we'll divorce in a couple of years anyway. Nobody goes into it like that. Maybe a few do, but most don't. Most think, I'm marrying this person, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this person. And more than half of America, that's not the case. So be realistic. But not in my case. In my case, it will last forever. Of course. The only way a marriage is ever successful is if the two people say to each other, this is not going to be easy. It's going to be fantastic. I want you to be my partner for the rest of my life. But we've got to realize that this is not going to be fun all the time. Stuff's going to happen. You're going to be the person that's closest to me at any given time, and if I'm having a shitty day, I'll make sure you do as well. Not on purpose, just because you're the closest target. If you understand all of that stuff, maybe you'll have a long marriage. But if you're just going to play house, it ain't going to work out. So, little girl, 26-year-old girl who's getting married, congratulations. You poor son of a bitch. Unless you understand the reality of it, it ain't going to be good all the time. And when it ain't good, you don't go running. Is the guy going to abuse me? Is the woman going to abuse me? You don't know. You haven't been with them long enough. Oh, yes, I have. And then they changed. Oh, yeah, they changed. They changed because you drove them crazy. Marriage. Wonderful or not. Either it's a living fantasy or it's a living hell. You got to find in between and then you're okay. You got to find that in between area. The extremes don't work. Worse yet is having a child. I believe there should be a test involved. There really should. Are both the parents somewhat normal and sane? Do they have the ability to give the child a decent sort of upbringing for life? If they don't, there really should be cement involved, if you know what I mean. I'm just saying. I meet so many people I don't know how they... See, anybody can physically do this, but not everybody can mentally do this. All right. I'm sorry if I've bored you to any great extent. I'm just stating the obvious. I think we all know people that are wonderful parents, and we also all know people that, like, they shouldn't be having children. We know them, but you never say it to their face. Hi, this is, we're Bob.
And I'm Kathy.
You people, you know, you shouldn't be having children. You can't say that to them. The other thing with the children thing is you can never say that somebody's baby is butt ugly. But a lot of them are. A lot of them don't look human. Some of them look like something went horribly wrong, but it didn't. They're just not really pretty babies. Now, most babies are cute because of the entity of the baby itself. They're helpless little pieces of flesh. So you've got, you do the aw thing. You know, it's like the puppy dog thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what you do. When you see a puppy dog or a baby, it's the same reaction. But inside, when you see a baby that's not too pretty, you know what you're saying to yourself. Oh! Yeah, I know. All babies look alike. Who are you kidding? And then you say to the parents, you say, oh, the baby looks just like you.
It looks like which one of us?
A combination of the both of you. I mean, this is just this textbook stuff that you say. And the parent will always say to you, isn't this the cutest baby you've ever seen? You can't be honest there. Your response cannot be, no, that's not the cutest. As a matter of fact, not even close. No, you have to agree. It's written in the Bible. You have to agree with that. That's the 11th commandment. Thou shalt agree with the opinion of doth parent. Isn't this the most, isn't this the cutest baby you've ever seen? Whatever, sure. I can't imagine a baby cuter than that, unless I saw another baby. In which case I'd say that they're even cuter than yours, but I can't say that to you. I have to lie. You can't screw around with somebody's baby. You can't. You gotta say that they're really cute, but they're not. Some of them look like flesh that's been contorted into a donut. I can't. And then some babies are like just, they wreak havoc. They wreak havoc. They knock things over. They destroy things. They scream and kick and fuss. And then the parents always say, look, my baby's adorable. No, your baby's like from hell. Your baby's a devil personified. I'm wondering if when the child grows up, you're raising the devil. I've seen movies like this where the child turns into the devil. It didn't come out of your uterus. It came out of a portal from hell, which happens to be your uterus, by the way. Are you calling my uterus the portal from hell? Yes. Yes, I am. Why would you say something like that to me? Because look at what happened. We've got to get a priest over here and close this portal from hell so that this doesn't happen again. We're going to take some holy water and just drown the hell out of it. This tunnel has got to be closed up for the season. I mean, this is really, I'm calling a masonry crew over here to just get this done quickly. See, but you can't say stuff like that for some reason. I don't know why not, but you can't. So I'm talking to this bride, and she knows that I used to be involved in the bridal industry. I used to, I didn't make dresses, stop it. I used to videotape weddings for quite a period of time. So I know a lot about weddings, because I've seen over 1,000 of them. I've been to over 1,000 weddings, and I don't know any of the people. They pay me to go. It's an interesting concept. And she's telling me about her plans, and she's asking me, can you give me any advice? And I said, the advice that I would give you, these plans wouldn't be happening. But, let's not go there. And she's telling me about her wedding dress, and she's describing her wedding dress. And she's very, very proud of her wedding dress. She thinks it's one of a kind, like David's Bridal only makes like one dress per person. But she's very, very excited about her wedding dress.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
A wedding dress. It's usually white. I think it should be black in most cases, but I guess that's not the way it's done. It's a white wedding dress, she's telling me, and I go, oh, that's different. And she's explaining the train, and I said, well, what does that have to do with your wedding dress? What time does the train come in? And she says, no, the train of my dress is will flow behind me. And I said, yeah, if the train of your dress is going to flow behind you, then your father's going to be stepping on it, and so will the groom, and you'll be turning around like 20 times during your wedding day saying, get off my dress. What are you doing? Oh, my God, you ruined my dress. A white halter top and a and some white shorts will probably get the job done. But, you know, you're going to go the route of the dress, whatever the case may be. It's actually very funny to me, this wedding garb. It really is. This dress has to be very, very special. Very, very special. Very, very expensive. Very expensive. Where in most cases, it's just like somebody took some white cloth and gave you some puffy sleeves and called it a day, and that's like $2,000. It's like, whoa, okay, whoa. And yet the groom puts on a suit, tie, and we're done. We're done. We're done. My problem with the wedding thing is it's very, very stupid looking. And this is why I say that. It's because the bridal party, they always dress like each other. And I find that to be very militaristic. I find the bride to be very militaristic. The groom never cares about any of this stuff. The groom does not care. It's like, whatever, honey, whatever, whatever, whatever. But she has to have it exactly the way she pictured it when she was a child. This wedding thing coming true from her childhood. A man never thinks of his wedding when he's a child. He never says, oh, someday I'm going to put on a tuxedo and I'm going to look wonderful. And I'm going to have all the guys look just like me and we're going to have a big ceremony. Guys don't think about that. I don't know why, but they don't. But the girls, this is something that they've been dreaming about all of their life. The guys, this is something they've been avoiding all of their life. Very, very different perspective. To this day, I laugh when I see all the guys dressing exactly the same. They all have the same color jackets, the same color ties, and the bride wants it that way. And then her bridesmaids are always wearing exact same dresses. Like, what are the chances of finding all? Through an entire woman's life, she freaks out if somebody is dressed like her. It's like, where did you get that? I'm wearing this today. Oh my God, I can't be seen next to you. Oh my God, we're wearing the same dress. Yeah, but on her wedding day, everybody's got to look exactly the same. Everybody's hair up, please, hair up. I want the hair up on everybody. I want you to wear this little piece of jewelry around your neck. I want you to look exactly the same. No one is going to look like me in my wedding dress. You see, bridesmaids don't wear wedding dresses. They don't. They wear bridesmaid uniforms. They're the bride's army of guards, is what they are. It's just a very, very odd dressy thing. If I were a guest at a wedding, I'd be wearing black. It's time to mourn the bride and groom. They're getting into something they have no idea. I shall be wearing black for this. The wedding and the funeral, same concept. Oh my goodness. It's a horrible thing. What I dislike most about weddings, and I haven't been invited to many of them as a guest because they know better, I hate having to give them a gift. I really do. I think it's nice to send them on their way with a lot of money, but I think I want them to sign a disclaimer. If I give them a gift, like, here, I'll give you $400 wedding gift, but you need to sign this piece of paper saying that if you divorce, I need my gift back. This gift is being given to you because I'm assuming that I'm giving it to a married couple. If you're not married anymore or you're having some marital problems, I want my gift back. Will you agree to that? No, I won't agree to it. Well, then no gift. I'm not just giving you money. What are you thinking? And then they have the gift registry, which is the ultimate in ridiculousness. You say, get me a gift. Come to my wedding. Get me a gift. I will tell you what to get me. You register, you go to the store, and they will tell you what to buy me. Excuse me? You pompous ass. I'll give you what I want to give you. No. You're going to give me what I want you to give me. You don't understand. I'm getting married. I do understand. So what? It's if you're going to be a groomsman or a bridesmaid at a wedding, run for the hills. It means they're going to drain you of your cash. They're going to make you wear clothes that you would never wear anywhere. The bride always tells the bridesmaids, oh, you can wear this dress to a party. It's not just like, you know, it's not just for today. You can wear it to a party or something like that. It can be worn for many occasions. Name one. On what occasion would I wear this freaking dress again? This stupid pastel color. Maybe if I were playing the part of a fairy in a junior high school play, maybe I'd wear the dress as a joke. But otherwise, what? I ain't wearing it to bed as pajamas. I'm not wearing it out in public, my God. What the hell do you expect me to do with it? Maybe if there's some kind of oil spill somewhere, I can sop it up with the dress. But other than that, there is no point to ever wearing this dress again. Don't lie to me. I don't know. Anyway, I hope I haven't been too harsh, but I probably have. But anyway, if you're getting married, congratulations. Now, brides want to look the best that they possibly can on their wedding day. It's a prerequisite. And some of them actually altered their faces. Our guest today is going to talk about altering your face and your skin and stuff for the big wedding day. And I didn't know that a lot of people did this, but apparently they actually have their noses fixed and things like that. I didn't know that. I don't understand. I guess you get the fat sucked out of you. I mean, there's a lot of plastic surgery that's done, I guess. I really don't know. I don't know that part of it. I just don't. Anyway, our guest is going to be talking about that. And it's going to be enlightening, I suppose. I don't know. I'm not too sure. But anyway, good, fine. We're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, more program.
Are you the sort of person who feels vicarious excitement at the prospect of a robust discount? Then you need to pay us a visit at Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values. Each and every day, our standard pricing model is an absolute affront to common retailing practices and could indeed be seen as an indication of mental instability. Consider, if you will, a 24-pack of your favorite coffee pods, if one happens to drink such a thing, a mere $2.99. Is that sensible in the least? No, I tell you, it is not. And what of this? Common t-shirts with witty sayings upon them, suitable for men, women, and children, depending upon how you've raised them, 10 for $6. This is uncanny pricing that quite simply flies in the face of all possible reason, and the only explanation for this behavior on my part is that I am not sane, frankly. Do not take my word for it. Instead, find your way here to Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values, just off the motorway and beyond the roundabout, where our everyday retailing decisions are simply unnatural.
Hello.
Hi, Ron.
How are you?
I'm great.
Dr. Laura Devgan joins us. She's a board-certified plastic surgeon based in New York City. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Ron.
Well, you're welcome. All right. This is a skincare boot camp for people that are getting married. And why is that so important?
Well, you know, your wedding day is the biggest day of your life.
I guess
it's
so.
Spring and bridal season is upon us. So there are lots of brides and brides-to-be and mothers of the bride and bridesmaids thinking about what they're going to do to look their beautiful best.
Now, I know you're a plastic surgeon, but you don't require every bride-to-be to get plastic surgery.
No, of course not. We don't do that.
No, okay. All right. So what can you do in order to look like you've been rejuvenated, but yet perhaps you haven't been?
Well, you can always start with the basics. I mean, I think that eating a healthy diet filled with antioxidants and fruits and vegetables, staying well hydrated, going to the gym, getting adequate sleep, wearing SPF. Those are some of the tried and true basics that really can help lay the groundwork for looking and feeling great.
Yeah. Now, I know a lot of married people. I used to be in the wedding industry. I used to be a videographer on the side. And so I've been to thousands and thousands of weddings. And it is the biggest day for everybody. And you want to look your best because it's probably not too many times in life you're surrounded by so many people.
Exactly. And I mean, as a former videographer yourself, you can probably appreciate that you're photographed and videotaped thousands of times on your wedding date, and those memories live on for so long. You know, it's nice to be able to immemorialize them in a way that makes you feel good.
Absolutely. So it is a feel-good thing. And I have a feeling that whatever we're talking about, that everybody is a bride-to-be, even if you're not. You can still follow these guidelines and look your best a lot of the times.
Yeah, right. It doesn't have to be. I mean, you only get married once, but you live on after that. So it doesn't have to
just
be for your
family. What country do you live in? You only get married once. What? Okay. No, these are tips for the second, third, and fourth marriage, too. Okay. So what would you do? How do we go about doing this?
Well, you know, one of the most common procedures in my practice is Restylane Refine and Restylane Define, and those are FDA-approved injectable fillers.
Uh-huh.
They can actually be used to soften deep facial folds and wrinkles.
Yes.
And that's really important because sometimes those are the ones that catch lights and shadows the most and can reflect in photographs for your wedding.
Sure. Now, how often, first of all, where do you go to do this, and how often would you have to do this? I mean, if you wanted to keep it up.
Yeah, if you wanted to keep this up. So, you know, you'd start out by talking to your healthcare provider.
Uh-huh.
You could always go to RestylaneUSA.com if you need some more information about finding a healthcare provider or just more information, generally speaking. And then the amount and type of products used is really going to dictate how long they last and how often you need to maintain this. But it could be anywhere from months to years, depending on your metabolic rate and where they're placed and a bunch of different factors.
Okay. Where do most people have this done? Is it under the eyes? I mean, does it vary greatly, or is there a real popular place everybody seems to go for?
Well, you know, it varies greatly because everyone's different and everyone's concept of beauty is different. But I'll say that some of the most common places are those deep lines around the nose and mouth, like the folds that you see, the parentheses lines, and those kinds of things. These fillers are FDA approved specifically for that indication, so that makes it, you know, a really nice fit.
Yeah. See, I have a full beard, so I don't. That's how I take care of that.
They're popular with men, too, actually.
Oh, I know. Oh, I actually have some friends, quote-unquote friends, that, have had it done because they are in my industry. You go out in front of cameras a lot, and it's a staple, and they like it. They feel pretty good about themselves.
Yeah, well, you know what most people don't realize is that with the newest generation of injectables like the Restylane Refine and Define portfolio, they're made with a special proprietary technology called expression technology.
Mm-hmm.
So the fillers are actually flexible. Mm-hmm. They're made from derivatives of the body's own collagen, and they bend and move while still providing structural integrity. So, you know, you don't have to look fake and stiff. Your face can move completely normally, and you can laugh and cry and everything in between and still look good.
Yeah. Are these fairly simple to execute?
Yeah. I mean, of course you want to go see a qualified healthcare professional with experience in the area, but the procedure itself is very benign.
Yeah.
You know, it takes just a few minutes. There's no downtime.
Yeah.
People do very well.
How far ahead of time before the wedding date do you suggest that this be done depending on what area you're dealing with?
I think it's always a good idea to plan interventions like this at least a month or two before your wedding date.
Okay.
Even though they don't have any downtime, it's just such a big day that you don't want any surprises. So I think that that's a nice plan.
It would certainly last at least that long.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these products will last months to years.
Yeah. You know, once you do something like this and you find out that it is so simple to do, it really, we talk about this a lot with the interviews I do. When you do things for yourself, You really do feel good when you look in the mirror and you see something that you like or you like better than before. It really changes your whole life. Your outlook is better. You're snappier. You're happier. People see a smile on your face. It's a psychological thing besides a physical thing.
Yeah, I think it can really become a virtuous cycle. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like getting a haircut or, you know, filling in your cavity or, you know, losing that extra 5 pounds. Just the, sometimes a little boost of confidence can go a long way in terms of how you're approaching life and kind of dealing with everything. Right.
Not sure about the cavity example, but whatever.
You don't want a cavity.
No, I don't want a cavity, but I don't know how good that would make me feel. Okay, so where do I go for more information? Because I think people are going to say this is worth checking out. And all you got to do is just check it out, right?
Right, and more information is always good. Yeah. So WrestlingUSA.com is a really great resource, and I think that's where I would suggest people go.
Well, Dr. Laura, thank you so much for your time today. Interesting stuff.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, I hope that you enjoyed that. And congratulations. I'm out of time for today, but I'm going to warn you, I'll be back again tomorrow with another program. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be, I already know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, and it's going to be awesome. My guest will be awesome. Congratulations. And it's going to be great. So go out, go forth and multiply. But please be careful. Please, please, please be careful. I wish you peace. Go. Go now and make the world a better place. For we have a purpose in this land to leave it better than when we came. So take your purpose and go do something with it.